You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Times Higher Education podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Custer. Public engagement is more important now than ever for universities as student debt continues to climb, while trust in experts wanes and public confidence in the value of university degrees drops. Community engagement, while nothing new, has become a central priority for many institutions who are keen to ensure that they remain relevant to the people who might not be directly involved in their research. One example is the Live Near Your Work program at Johns Hopkins University. Going on 12 years now, this scheme offers grants to employees so they can buy homes in neighborhoods around the institution, some of the most deprived in East Baltimore. The program has recently expanded its geographical scope, so I spoke with Alicia Wilson, Vice President for Economic Development at Johns Hopkins University and the Johns Hopkins Health System. She told me about how the scheme works and the other community generation initiatives that have followed it, like tuition grants and setting up an elementary school there in East Baltimore. She says the program isn't a philanthropic move, but rather it's an investment in demonstrating that the university is in it for the long haul with the people who come into work every day and the university's surrounding community. And if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, easy enough for a place like Johns Hopkins to help people buy houses, Alicia also gives us some tips for smaller institutions that might not have the same resources but want to make similar big impacts in their communities.
Alicia, could you start just telling me a little bit about just the nuts and bolts of the Live Near Your Work program, kind of how it started? Because from what I understand, Baltimore, this is something that is kind of a wider Baltimore City initiative, and Johns Hopkins has kind of jumped in on it or had jumped in on it quite a decade ago.
So Live Near Your Work basically is a program really designed to help people buy homes, put down roots, and build their lives in their own Baltimore community. So the work that we're engaged in is really in a certain number of areas, neighborhoods within Baltimore, East Baltimore specifically, as well as Bel Air, Edison, Coldstream, Darley Park, Johnson Square, Mayfield, and others, to expand access for our Hopkins employees to live in the communities that in many respects they were already living in through our giving them grants that range from $5,000 to $17,000 to live within those neighborhoods.
And those are all neighborhoods that are relatively close to the university for people who aren't familiar with Baltimore.
Yeah, the homes are relatively close to the university and the health system. And the hospital, but in our latest expansion, we really went in concentric circles, even more outlying. So some of the neighborhoods like Bel Air, Edison may seem a little far afield from our campus as well as our hospital, but there were places where individuals in our employ were renting and now have an opportunity to buy. So we were really moved by the literal move of our employees to expand into areas where they were already living, but we could really allow them to become homeowners.
And that expansion was something that you announced just a few months ago, right, in September?
Yes. In September, we announced the expansion alongside those community leaders, which was it's really nice when you can do something in partnership with leaders to really help stabilize those neighborhoods that are thriving and where people are living.
Yeah, because the program has been going on for, is it 11 years now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Can you just walk me through how it's evolved?
I would say in the very early stages, what we tried to do was look at how could we help employees buy their first home. How could we help those who are already living in Baltimore dig deeper in their roots in those neighborhoods? Because about 90% of the grants that we give help people buy their first homes, and about 80% of the program participants were already living in Baltimore. So it's really helping. We really utilize it as a wealth creation opportunity. I would say in the early stages, we saw families, of course, buying in those neighborhoods. And what we saw was it was also meant that their children started going to the schools in those neighborhoods. And it also allowed for a neat mix because it wasn't just what most people would think, the doctors who were utilizing this. It actually was many people that are at the lower earning income levels that wouldn't buy homes otherwise, really expanding. Probably midway into the program's creation, we did a significant, the city sort of reduced its amount of contribution, but we thought it was necessary to continue our contribution, and so we continued that contribution and increased it in many respects. And with the expansion, we've continued to sort of continue the deep investment in those neighborhoods that are closest to us as a part of stabilizing and seeing where, how can we be additive to the to our closest neighbors. But I think the expansion really that is just happened really is talking about where are our employees living and can we help them not necessarily move but actually grow where they already were planted.
And when you say employees, what are we talking about there? Specifically, what's their status? Are we talking about faculty and staff? Does this include part-time and contract workers, academics, kind of support staff? Who is included to be available or eligible for these grants?
So everyone is eligible, part-time, full-time, or able to access the program. What we've seen is that the vast majority of the individuals who actually the majority of the live near your work home buyers earn less than $60,000 per year. So it's a bit of a real difference maker for that subset of employees who are mainly utilizing the program. You know, to date, about 1,100 employees have purchased homes through this program in 11 years. So that's, you know, 100 employees right now who are on the path to home ownership because of the grant.
That's really interesting. And, I mean, I'm quite surprised to hear that it includes – so basically anyone who works at the university is eligible for it.
Yes, and the health system.
What's been the final price tag for Johns Hopkins on this scheme over the 11 years? Have you got that figure?
Yep, I do. It's to date through the Live Near Your Work program, we provided over $8.2 million.
And that's in grants.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. For people to put down deposits, down payments on homes.
Yes. So ranging from the $5,000 to the $17,000, depending upon which neighborhood you're buying your home in.
And just in terms of, I mean, beyond kind of supporting Johns Hopkins employees, is there any sort of like broader problem specifically that you are hoping to confront with a program like this, just in terms of kind of community integration or community regeneration?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think the community integration is a huge part of the work that we're doing. So how can individuals that work together also live together? Mm-hmm. What does that do for neighborhoods and communities and a city? I think we also, really view it as additive to the city and that is experiencing, in some respects, population loss. And so, you know, the city, you know, last year saw one of its biggest declines in population since 2001. And so really helping our employees, incentivizing them to buy in the city, we add to the city in that way.
I know in your roles as Vice President of Economic Development, how does this fit into Johns Hopkins' broader initiatives for community development?
So we view the Live Near Your Work initiative in tandem with the other comprehensive benefits that we try to imply to employees. So Live Near Your Work is about placemaking, right? So where do you live? But we also have significant investments in child care vouchers.
Right.
So supplementing employees around child care. Also the tuition grant provides local Baltimore residents who are Hopkins employees the opportunity to build wealth, running their own communities by going to school. Also the tuition remission for the employees themselves, so both for their dependents and the employees themselves. And so that, in tandem with the investments we do in schools, especially within the neighborhoods that we are talking about that are covered within Live New York Work, all of those we try to build upon one another to really think about wealth creation for those communities and also things that can help sustain the families for future generations that are within our family.
Interesting that you mentioned investing in kind of the long-term sustainability of the community and the families that are there. I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the elementary school that Johns Hopkins established in the neighborhood.
So Henderson Hopkins is a partnership school. So it's actually a Baltimore City-run school with a significant amount of investment from the Johns Hopkins School of Education.
Mm.
It's a K through 8 school, which now has pre-K within it, that provides really a holistic approach to the development of each of the students there. If you would go to the school, I think what you would see happening are a number of things that we all know to be additive and necessary for a child to thrive within a school environment. You'd see restorative practices, you'd see small classroom sizes, you'd see things that demonstrate that behavioral, cognitive, and physical health are all focused on equally for young people.
Mm.
And it is actually the first school built in East Baltimore in 20 years.
Mm.
And the significance of that is that schools really are anchors of communities, right?
Right.
In addition to housing, in addition to healthcare, schools really do stabilize neighborhoods and cities. And so this school in particular, being the first, the creation of an early childhood center in tandem with the school, really helps to anchor that community. And then our investment in Live New York Work around that school really allows for an opportunity that ordinarily you would never have.
Hmm.
And I think the results for the school actually bear that out. The school was one of the top performing schools last year on state assessments. Although it is in a neighborhood where you have a mix, so you have a number of kids who are on free and reduced lunch, and also a number of kids who are coming from more affluent backgrounds. And so I think that demonstrates sort of the benefit of the diversity that school is creating.
Yeah. I mean, because the neighborhood in East Baltimore has been historically a deprived community, and there have been some criticisms of the Live New Year Work scheme that it's kind of encouraging gentrification in some of those neighborhoods. And I'm just wondering what's your response to that?
Yeah, I think what we've seen through the utilization of Live New Year Work is that the evidence and the outcomes really speak very differently. I think when we think about who's accessing Live New Year Work, it's people who are already living there, right? But they were living in a rental position.
Hmm.
You are seeing, 90% of people who are utilizing Live New Year Work dollars, this is their first home being bought. And so what you're seeing is that this incentive really is a game changer for those families and those individuals. And so I think the outcomes and the outputs are actually the best response to the question that this is a gentrification tool, when in all actuality, it's a wealth creation tool and has been a wealth creation tool for the families that have been able to utilize it.
Hmm. When we're thinking about public trust, which is perhaps at a kind of all-time low for higher education and universities in general, what sort of role do you think projects like this, like the Live Near Work scheme or kind of the broader community development schemes that you guys are establishing, what sort of role do you think that plays in helping universities regain public confidence?
I think programs like Live Near Work and others allow for us to regain public confidence because they're actually in many respects inward-looking, right? So we look at ourselves and say, what are our values? that we do through philanthropy, because this isn't a philanthropy move in my estimation. It's an investment move, right? And so, what as we look inward, how do we speak out our values about who we are as an anchor? How are we playing our role in this community, and what is our contribution? And a couple of things I think this speaks to is how do we demonstrate that we're in for the long haul, right? And that we're in for the long haul, not just for the city that we occupy, because no one thinks we can pick up these anchor institutions and move them, but how are we in for the long haul with our employees, with the people who come in here every day, render care to patients? How are we in for the long haul with residents? How are we actually in for the long haul with the city through a shared vision and purpose with the individuals who work with us? And so in that way, when we're talking about home creation, we know that most people hold their wealth in property. This move is one around wealth creation for those who are within our walls. And that is a trust that we give to the city and to the community to say that we value our stake here, but we also want the folks who work with us to also benefit from being in this city in a really robust way, and we're willing to put dollars behind that.
That it's quite interesting that you say inward looking, because that would almost be the antithesis of what many successful universities would say their mission is in terms of internationalization, global outreach, all that stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying that the two cancel each other out, but I guess my question is how does that sit, that inward-looking approach, with whenever it seems like the rest of higher education is kind of trying to go global?
I think it's the genius of the and rather than the tyranny of the or, right? So I think universities, as a part of just the marketplace, need to be looking globally, right? Thinking globally, thinking nationally. But you also have to look local. And so your institution is a part of a local ecosystem. Your tentacles, the foundation of your organization is bolstered by the health of that which is closest in proximity to it. And so it's also, in a way, I think, a shift in allowing for these anchor institutions to be humble residents of the places that they occupy. And they have really the luxury to be more humble than maybe some of the smaller institutions, because they aren't going anywhere. They've been here for hundreds of years. They will be here for hundreds of years. And so that luxury allows for institutions to think about how they actually benefit from being a part of wherever they're located, and that means that they have to invest in wherever they're located and invest in a way that allows for individuals within their institution to say that my family actually gets to occupy this place just like this anchor for the next 100 years. I'm going to, as an individual, anchor this neighborhood. I'm going to anchor this block. And I think at that sort of shared vision around within your employee, as well as the institution, helps the place where you are do even better. But also it helps you be able to lift up and work on that global scale.
I'm glad you brought up the word luxury, because I think that some people who are listening to this might think that a scheme like this would be a luxury for an institution like Johns Hopkins to do, just considering the wealth that the institution has compared to others in the United States and perhaps around the world. I'm wondering if you've got any tips for someone who might be listening to this, who's at the head of their institution and they really want to make a difference in their community and make some of the changes that you just described. What would be your tips for them to extend their tentacles a bit further into their local communities and be a bit more inward looking?
I think one, it's coming to a realization of that all of us have a large body of individuals that work within our organizations, right? So probably three things impact people the most in their lives: government, of course, where they work, and probably their faith community, if you wanted to bundle them all up.
Mm-hmm.
No matter big or small what your organization is, maybe you can't do live near your work, but you can do something. You can think through childcare vouchers. You can think through flex hours. You can think through a number of different things that allow for people to anchor themselves in their neighborhoods and in their family units. If you are an organization, just think about it. If you are like Johns Hopkins, and maybe you're not of our size, you probably touch more lives on a daily basis than probably any other institution within your community. People are showing up with whatever things are happening in their lives. Be humble and ask them, how could we, who touch more of your life than any other institution, be a partner with you on your success as an individual and as a family unit? And that I think would be clarifying and helpful in where to start, to really be a partner with employees in a way that I think 20 years ago we wouldn't have asked ourselves to be that reflective and inward looking, but I think it's necessary. Live near your work is one of a myriad of things that you can do within the families, the neighborhoods, and the communities that anchor institutions reside in and universities reside in. So I think starting somewhere is better than nowhere.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.